to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. If you do not have one of these books, please raise your hand. There's one for everyone here this evening. If you do not have a book that looks like this, that says Walking with God, you'll want to get one of these books. While they're passing those books out, let me say congratulations. This is the third time I've done this. You never come to any services. I don't know what the problem is. This is one of our lay shepherds, one of our deacons, and he just never makes it to services. But I'm glad that he's here. Actually, he was teaching classes this morning and wasn't able to be in either one of the services. Congratulations to Andrew and Julia Brenniger on the birth of their daughter, Aria. Aria. Rose, second name, Rose. Aria Rose Brenniger, born December 22nd, 2011, 5 pounds, 14 ounces, length 19.5 inches. Is she in the services tonight? Is she making noise back there? That's not her. Who's that? That's Cherish? Imagine. Okay, all right. Congratulations. God bless you both. And make sure you go by and breathe on the baby. I just don't understand it at all, how you two can have a 5-pound, 4-ounce baby. It just doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, God works in strange and wonderful ways. Andrew's strange, Julia's wonderful, and God worked in strange and wonderful ways. God bless you both. That's wonderful. Is baby doing okay? That's great. Want to talk to you tonight about prayer. There is nothing that is more valuable, no more important in the world than the Christian's prayer life. As we were coming in 2012, I said, Lord, I really want to know exactly what you want me to preach on. And God really impressed my heart that we need to take one service throughout the next several weeks and just talk about Christian basics. Things that we need as individual Christians to be doing in order to be successful in our Christian life, in order to be victorious in our Christian life, in order to have the life that God wants us to have. It shouldn't be a shock to anyone to hear a preacher say that America is going through struggles. We are having major problems in our country, politically, fiscally, in the family, emotionally, in every way, America is struggling. And that is because America has walked away from God. We are in a backslidden state in America. I want to make sure, by the way, that everyone has a copy of these. Would you do me a favor, Pastor Matt? Make sure the ushers even get a copy of this. I want to make sure that everyone gets a copy of this. One of the big problems we have in America is people just aren't praying. And how do you know that? Because the Bible says this. Now listen, I'm not talking about unsaved America. I'm not talking about the people in America who deny God. I'm not talking about atheists. 80% of America claims to have a relationship with God. That's an amazing statement. That's an amazing statement. I want you to know that if that were true, if only half of that were true, 40% of America really had a relationship with God, we could turn this world around. We could turn this nation around just if people began to pray. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, if you're called a Christian, you're called by the name of Christ, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then would I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. God said that to Israel under the reign of Solomon. God said, listen, if the nation of Israel gets away from me, walks away from me, and I chasten them, and there's pestilence, and there's famine, and they even get taken into captivity, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. God said that to the nation of Israel. We are the people of God today. If the people of God would get sincere about this thing of prayer, we could see things happen in our nation. We need to understand that God wants us to be people that pray. We cannot have nationwide revival. We can have not have revival in America. We can't see America turn back to God until God's people turn to God. Can I say that again? America is not going to turn back to God until God's people turn to God. We can say, we can talk about the fact that we believe God, but most Christians are practicing atheists. We don't spend time every day praying. We don't spend time on our face before God. I would not ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to ask yourself this question right now. How much time did you spend in prayer this week? How much time did you personally spend asking God to save souls? How much time did you spend in prayer personally this week asking God to work in your family? When it came to that financial problem that you had, did you call your credit card or did you call upon God? When you had a family problem, a medical problem, did you first call the doctor or did you first call God? What are you doing that's proving that you believe in Almighty God and His ability to answer prayer? Let me tell you what the disciples did. The disciples witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ praying. They saw Him praying. They saw God hearing and answering His prayers. And so the Bible says in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, they observed Jesus praying. Let me ask you a question. You're going to say amen if you think this is the case. If it was necessary for God in human flesh, God the Son, to pray, do you think that it's necessary for us? Jesus Christ, this is God in human flesh. He prayed. He was in a certain place and He was praying. Why? He's our example. He was praying. And when He ceased, when He came to the point where He stopped praying, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught His disciples. Verses 2 through 13 is God's response, Jesus' response to teach us to pray. I'm going to, within this booklet, I will give you the same thing that the Lord Jesus did. Jesus was much more intelligent, much more powerful, much more all-knowing, much more everything than I am. What He could say in a few words, it took me a little booklet to put together. But I want you to understand that God has a pattern for your prayer. And God wants you to be successful in your prayer life. God doesn't want you to go through life saying, well, I just don't know how to do that. I can remember when I first went to a fundamental Baptist church, and somebody said to me, and I felt like God had called me to preach, and God wanted me to preach, and I didn't know what that meant exactly, but I really had a desire to preach. And I went into a meeting one night, and the preacher said, it's good to have David Tice here. He's a young teenage boy. That was eons ago. So he's a young teenage boy, and he said he feels that God's called him to preach. I'm going to have him open us up with a word of prayer. And he said, let's pray. And everybody bowed their heads and closed their eyes. And I said, dear Jesus, I figured that was a good way to start. I don't know how to pray. And then the preacher immediately jumped in. He knew I was embarrassed. Everybody around me was embarrassed. He was embarrassed, and he jumped in and he said, he began to pray. And afterwards I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know what to say or what. I never prayed in public before. He said, I'm so sorry for embarrassing you. I said, no, I need to learn how to pray. Every one of us need to learn. And the Bible says the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. I want to give you tonight what I do when I pray. I have a book that I have a prayer notebook. It's a little thicker than this, but this has got all the essence of the things that I pray for on a daily basis, and it's got my pattern for prayer. I'm not going to talk to you this evening about some theory. I'm going to talk to you about what I see, what I've done for years, and I've seen God hear and answer prayers because I followed this pattern. So I just want you to open it up, first of all, and I would encourage you to take a pen this evening, and I would encourage you to not just say, oh, okay, I'll do this when I get home, because the truth is you won't. I want you to first put your name in your prayer journal. This is my prayer journal. Put your name there. First page, my prayer journal. Good, I hear people rustling through, trying to get pens out of their purses, and men saying to their wives, you got a pen? That's good. That's what I want. It says, my prayer journal. Put your name there. Let's personalize this. Then I want you to think about this. You can't do this right now, but I would encourage you to do this by the end of the service. I have two pages in my prayer diary with two different... I have this prayer... prayer partner page in my prayer diary twice. And there's two men that I told 6 months ago, I would pray for you every single day. I have prayed for them every single day. And when I see them, they ask me, they tell me, I prayed for you. And I look at them and I say, I prayed for you. I'm looking at one right now. I prayed for you today. There are two men in this church that I pray for every single day because I told them I would. And you know what? They can ask me anytime, do you pray for me? And I'll either have to say, no, or I will, or yes, I did. And most times it's yes, I did. Now, there are times in the last 6 months that I haven't had my prayer diary with me, or there have been times that for some reason something came up and I didn't. But you say, well, oh, wow, you're not a very good prayer partner. No, most of the time I do. Most of the time I do. And it's better to have somebody praying for you most of the time than none of the time. Can you say amen to that? And you say, well, what if I'm not a very good prayer partner? Hey, it's better to have a lousy prayer partner than no prayer partner at all. Can you say amen to that? Amen. What you need to do is find somebody who you can go to, somebody besides your wife, besides your husband. Because you know the way it is with wives and husbands. What are you nagging me about? That's the way. You don't do that with somebody else in the church. Grab somebody in the church. Teenagers, find a teenager that you can say, hey, I want to ask you, will you be my prayer partner? That means any day I can ask you, did you pray for me? Did you pray for me? And you say, well, then you're just praying for somebody because you have to. I'd rather have somebody pray for me because they have to than not pray for me at all. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You see, the deal is we need to pray. We need to pray. I am weak. I am lazy. And the devil tells me every day, this isn't doing any good. He tells me that. He's been telling me that for years. I mean, Christians are nuts. If there is no God, we are nuts. We go into a room by ourselves, close the door, and talk out loud. You're crazy if there's no such thing as prayer. But if there is a God and he told us to go into a room by ourselves and talk to him, then there's some power in there. And God hears and answers prayer. And I'd rather have everybody in the world just saying, please bless Pastor Tice today. If that's all I get from you, that'd be great. I just call my name unto God. Keep my name in front of God. That's a wonderful thing. I want that. Protect him from satanic attack. Pray that for me. Pray that God will bless me. Man, if that's all you say, Lord, just bless Pastor Tice today. Just be with him today. That's fine. I like them to be with me. That may be all that I pray for an individual, but I tell you what, I want people calling my name unto God. So get yourself a prayer partner. Then secondly, I want you to look at the second page. It says, my prayer pattern. Now let me explain something to you about a pattern of prayer. I have people who have said this to me. I used to commit to reading the Bible every day, but I failed at it, and I just don't want to feel guilty about it, so I'm not making a commitment to read my Bible. Well, how dumb is that? You ever say, oh, well, you know what? I missed a payment on my house, so I'm not making a commitment to pay my house payment anymore. you know what? I missed a meal yesterday, so I'm just not going to make a commitment to eat anymore. Well, you know, I went through lunch and I went through breakfast and lunch without eating. I'm just not going to eat anymore. It's obvious, I just want you to know, for many of you and for me, that we have never missed out on that kind of commitment. Do you understand how foolish that is? Well, you know what? I just sat around all day yesterday. I didn't get up and walk one time. I guess I'm not going to walk anymore. That's dumb. If you think that kind of thinking is dumb, would you say amen? Amen. I just want you to understand, why do we do that with prayer? Well, you know, one time I made a commitment to pray every single day, and I didn't keep that commitment, so therefore, I'm just not going to do it. No, listen, what I want you to do tonight is establish a pattern for your life of prayer. Establish a pattern for your life. For me, and I'm going to tell you what I do. My pattern is to get up at 5:30 every morning. My pattern is to pray through my prayer diary. This is what I do. My pattern for my devotional life is to get up. I did this morning. I got up at 4:30 this morning because I was really excited about, and I just couldn't sleep. So I got up at 4:30 and I wanted to make sure that I prayed and read my Bible today because I was given this lesson tonight. And, you know, I want to be able to say, hey, I did it this morning. So I got up. I have a treadmill. My treadmill was out in my garage. So I went out to the garage, put on my sweatsuit, got on my treadmill, got my Bible on DVD on my computer, stuck it up. And by the way, this past year, I've read through the Bible almost 4 times by doing this. I do it this way because I'm not a fast reader, and I'm also a very tactical learner, and I'm very, very, I'm always moving. And so I can read and move and do everything I want. And besides that, I want to make sure that I stay in shape. Or I would like not to get any more out of shape, I guess I could put it that way. So what I do is I got my treadmill, and I was doing 2 miles a day. Jan Shore has said 3 miles a day would do me better, and so I've gone to 3 miles a day. And she's concerned about my well-being, and I'm sick of hearing Pastor Shore's jokes. So I got my treadmill. I put my computer up on DVD. And what I do is I have that computer sitting there, and I put it on. I put on my headphones. And I read through the Bible. This morning I read through 14 chapters of the book of Luke. And this morning I read through 10 chapters of the book of Genesis. I'm trying to finish up the New Testament and then also start in the Old Testament. So I read 24 chapters of the Bible this morning. Now, I'm just telling you what I do because I want you to understand that's not easy for me to do. I'm the pastor of the church, though. That's what I'm supposed to do full time. You understand? I'm supposed to read the Bible and pray and get it into me. So I read a whole lot more than the average person does. But I'm saying to you, this is how I do it. This is how I've gotten through the Bible 4 times this year. I've got the Bible on DVD. You say, where do you get the Bible on DVD? You can go to our bookstore, and you can buy it for, I think it's $25, and you get the entire Bible on DVD. You can sit and watch it and read it and listen to it. And it's just great while you're walking. So I got 3 miles in, 24 chapters. I feel real good about that. Right now, when I'm finished with that, I usually get up at 5:30 in the morning and I do that. Then when I'm finished with that, I just get down on my knees. Normally, I get a pillow, to balance that stuff that's in the middle there. I put a pillow on the ground, and I'll either kneel over that pillow or I'll lay on top of that pillow. It just feels a whole lot better. I'll lay on that pillow, and then I begin to pray. And I'll show you what I pray for specifically in just a moment. Now, what I'm saying is this. My pattern is to get up every morning at 5:30. My pattern is to do that, do the treadmill and reading my Bible. And then my pattern is, and if I'm not, like, in February, I'll be traveling. When I'm gone, I just said, okay, I'm going to read 10 chapters every day. That's my pattern, to get up in the morning at 5:30, read 10 chapters of the Bible, and then pray, and pray through my prayer diary. Now, that's my pattern. Now, I want you to understand, that's not what I do every single day. Well, you just said it's your pattern. Yes, it's my pattern, but that's not what I do every single day. Now, I'll tell you why. Because sometime this week, somebody's going to call me up, and they're going to keep me up till 1 or 2 in the morning. You say, and when that happens, at 5:30 in the morning, I'm not going to want to get up. And so I might not get up until 6:30. I might not get up till 7. I might not get up. And so a day might go by. Thursday this week may go by, and I didn't do it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to say, oh, no, I don't have a pattern of prayer anymore. Nope. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do Friday morning. I'll get up, and I'll do the same thing. I'll go back to my pattern. The key is this. The key is you have to have a time that you know that this is what you do on a normal, regular basis. If a day or two or a week goes by and your whole schedule is messed up, it's okay. If you have set in your life a pattern, something you can go back to. There's something you're going back to. We're supposed to eat 3 meals a day. Not everyone eats 3 meals a day. But some of us eat more. But you know, you have a pattern, breakfast, lunch, and supper. You have a pattern. You go back to that pattern. It's not that you do that all the time. You have a pattern. You will not be successful in your prayer life unless you have some pattern set up. You may not be a 5:30 in the morning person. I trained myself years ago to be that type of person. You may be a late night person. Then you need to set a pattern. This is going to be my pattern. I'm going to pray at 12 o'clock at night. I'm going to pray at 10 o'clock at night. I'm going to pray a half hour before I go to bed. You have to set some type of pattern. You have to have that, something that you can go back to. It's that pace that you go back to that you know that that's what's going to happen. Your default, if you would. What you go back to when everything gets back to normal. We've had some crazy things happen during the month of December. Charity went and had a baby. And my wife said that it was important that we be there. And that just messes up your whole life. I mean, everything. And then we just went through Christmas. We went through New Year's. We went through this whole thing. So the normal pattern is messed up. Doesn't mean you can't. If you have a thing that this is what I go back to, this is my pattern, then you can have something. You need to have a pattern in your life. So I want you to take in your book, and I want you to put this. This is my place of prayer. I know where I'm going to pray, and it's not normally in the garage. You say, why were you in the garage this morning? Because for the last 3 days, I've had 7 grandchildren at my house, and during the day, I've had 18 Tices and Berkeys and Gelsthorpes all at my house. And when the grandkids spent the night where I normally pray, they were sleeping and making noise, and I didn't want to go in there and wake them up in the morning. So I did. I took my exercise machine outside to the garage, and I was able to do what I did outside. My normal place, however, I have a place that I know that's where I go to pray. You need to have that. You say, why do you do this? Because the devil hates prayer. And if you don't have a pattern, you say, okay, this is the place. This is where I'm going to go, and this is where I'm going to pray. You might have an optional place, but have a particular place where you go. There's a place that I go if. There's another place I go if. There's another place I go if. And then the garage is the fourth. It was the garage this week. Then have a time of prayer. Right now, put it on there. Is it? You say, well, I have to get up at a certain time in order to get to work. Well, then put it a little earlier than that, if it's in the morning. Or is it at lunch? Is there a place where you can say, at work, I can get away at lunch, and that's going to be my time of Bible reading and prayer? My time of prayer will be, you have to have that. Now, my priorities for prayer will be, let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to pray, and you're going to think this is selfish, and it is, but it'll help you. You need to pray for your needs first. You need to say, okay, I'm going to pray for the things that are on my heart. Why? Because you need to get those things off of your mind. For me, I pray for my children and my wife first. That's the first thing that's on my mind. I want things to go well with them. And then there are things for my family. It may be a financial need. It may be physical needs. It may be emotional needs that I pray for. Those things are the first things that are on my mind. Those things that come to your heart and then your mind that you pray for first. So you got to pray, first of all, for those things that are on your mind. Number two, pray according to your priorities. Pray for your wife. Pray for if you haven't got one, pray for one. If you haven't got a husband, pray for one. You can do that. And that's a good thing to do. Pray for God to provide those things. Pray for while my kids were children, I was praying for them that God would give them godly spouses. I pray for my grandchildren every day for God to give them godly spouses. Pray according to your priority. Pray according to your priorities, your needs, your wife's needs, your spouse's needs, your children's needs, and then the needs of the church. Make a list of priorities. What's important to you? The Bible says, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive them. God says you can ask him for anything. So now you've got... You should have written down there, my place of prayer will be, my time of prayer will be, and my priorities for prayer will be. Now, you can take that home and you can think through that, but I want you to see this. And then my plan for daily Bible reading will be. Now, look, I have some goals. I have a friend who reads through the Bible 12 times a year. I will never read through the Bible 12 times in a year unless I spend my entire year just reading. I'm a slow reader and I've got so many other things to do. I know what I can do. And I know that like this year I decided I was going to try and read through the Bible 4 times and I almost got there. I got through the Old Testament 4 times and through the New Testament 3 times and about a quarter. I'm going to finish it up the beginning of this year, this month. But you need to ask yourself, hey, what is my goal for Bible reading? Now listen, it doesn't have to be extraordinary. I'm just telling you what I do. And I'm not telling you that for any reason except to let you know that I do that and these are things that help me. By the way, when I say I read the Bible through. I'm reading, I'm listening, I'm driving, I'm listening, because I want to accomplish my goal. You say, well, is that cheating, listening to the Bible? Can I tell you this? For the first 1,400 years of the New Testament church, nobody had a Bible to read. All they got to do was listen. And God said to be hearers of the word and not doers only. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Don't let the devil tell you some stupid thing like, oh, well, you were just listening to the Bible. That wasn't good enough. Listen to the word of God. Let it go in you and cleanse you. And listen, understand this, that hearing the word of God will be good for you. And don't let the devil say, oh, man, your mind was wandering. How many of you, if you ever read anything and your mind wanders, say amen. Amen. Yeah, your mind wanders when you're reading the Bible, when you're reading Betty Crocker's cookbook, when you're watching TV. My mind, I watch TV for 5 minutes and my mind wanders so far, I am snoring. My mind wanders naturally. Something comes, I'm reading something in the Bible and man, I think about somebody and I think about them and I pray about them and then I'm off like in Jupiter somewhere and then I think, oh, I'm supposed to be thinking about what I'm reading. And my mind goes back. Again, let me tell you this. You just need to get in the Word of God. So sit down, ask yourself this question. Go back to the bottom of that page that says, my plan for Bible reading. Let me read this to you. You can read the Bible in 3 years by reading one chapter, 5 minutes a day. Somebody told me just yesterday, they said, my goal is to finish reading the New Testament today or tomorrow because my goal was to read through the New Testament twice this year. Somebody else told me yesterday, my goal was to read through the Bible one time this year. Listen, we all have different things and different abilities and different time limits. But you should say, maybe it's, I want to read through the Bible. I can remember years ago, a lady in our church, in fact, she's here tonight, said, I knew I couldn't read through the Bible in 1 year. So I just decided I was going to read through the Bible in 2 years. And she read through the Bible in 2 years. And she stood up and gave testimony. I got through the Bible. I thought that was wonderful. You just need to have some type of goal. If you can read through the Bible in 3 years by reading one chapter a day. You can read the Bible in 2 years by reading a chapter and a half a day. You can read through the Bible in a year by reading three chapters a day, about 15 minutes a day. And if you're a slow reader, again, get it on DVD. That's the cheapest way you can get it read to you. Or if you have an iPhone, you can get it downloaded off of, you can download a free app and just, I'm learning these words, and you can download, and you can just listen to it. You can listen to it while you're driving, and the guy that's on the iPhone is boring. He's got a very boring voice, but you can get it. You can get the Bible dramatized on CD. You can get anything you want, but I'm going to, three chapters a day, the Bible in 6 months by reading seven chapters a day, the Bible in 4 months by reading 10 chapters a day. You can do that. And what you need to do is look at that, and then you say to yourself, I want to read the Bible through in so many months. Or you say, well, I don't want to do that. Maybe I can only read a chapter a day, or maybe I can only read for 15 minutes a day. Then write down that I'm going to read for 15 minutes a day. Or I'm going to read for 5 minutes a day. Or I'm going to read a chapter per day. Or I'm going to read 10 verses a day. Either, any way you do it, just as long as you're committed to some kind of Bible reading every day. Write that in there. Make a decision and say, I'm going to do that. Now, my plan for my spiritual growth. The next page. This morning I listed dozens of things that we're doing in this church for your spiritual growth this year. And I would encourage you right now to think about this. What is your plan for your spiritual growth? Beyond your personal Bible reading and your personal prayer time, what do you want to do? You can enroll in discipleship. You can see Clayton Sullivan and say, I want to be involved in discipleship this year. I want to either disciple somebody because I've already gone through discipleship. I want to take somebody through discipleship, and I'm going to talk to Clayton Sullivan about that. Or I want to go through disciples. I want to be discipled. Or as a couple, we want to be discipled together. Men will disciple men. If you're a lady, if ladies will come up to me and say, I would like to have a personal Bible study, I say, get in our personal Bible study for ladies and for men here in this church is discipleship. You can get involved in discipleship. It's 17 lessons, but it can go anywhere from 3 months to 6 months to a year to 2 years. It took me 2 years to get Pastor Shore through discipleship. He was tough. Mrs. Shore picked it up just that quick, but he's tough teaching a principal anything. I mean, they've already got it together. We actually spent 2 years together, and it was probably one of the best 2 years of my life because we really got to know the Shores. It's discipleship. It's Bible study week after week after week. The reason it always takes me longer to take somebody through discipleship is because I'm in and out of town and I'm back and forth and all that kind of stuff. But it's a personal Bible study. You can get involved in that. Enroll. If you're having any type of financial problems, or if you'd just like to have a pattern for your financial peace, if you'd like to see God's plan for finances in your home, then get involved in Financial Peace University. Commit to that. Does that start this Wednesday evening? In 2 Wednesday evenings, it starts, just sign up and just say, I'm going to do that on Wednesday night. And for 13 weeks, say, I'm going to ingest what the Bible tells me about finances. You'll learn so much in Financial Peace University. It's there for you. Enroll in Master's Men Leadership Training Institute. I want to get involved in learning more. Now, people say, why is that for men only? Because we want to train men to be leaders in their homes because that is Bible. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's what God wants. But sometimes men don't know what to teach and they're not secure. And so we teach them the Bible, Master's Men Leadership Training, to just decide in March of this year, I'm going to get involved in that. I'm enrolling in an adult Bible study. We have wonderful adult Bible studies at 8:30 on Sunday morning, at 9:30 or 9:45 on Sunday morning, or is it 9:30? 9:45 on Sunday morning, and then we have them at, we're starting them at 11 o'clock. We have a singles adult Bible study at 11 o'clock now on Sunday morning. So you can go to one of those Bible studies, and you can come to the joint service. Get involved. Begin discipling others. Commit to, I think every Christian ought to do this. I think it'll just help you tremendously. I'm going to commit to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night services. Those are commitments that you need to make. Now, having said that, in prayer, making those commitments, if you'll make those commitments, then let me tell you what to do on a daily basis when it comes to prayer. I want you to know I do this every day. I do this every day. Every day, if this is all you can do, then bow your head before the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah that they bowed their head to worship God. There was so much of a crowd that people could not get down on their face, and so they bowed their head in worship to God. The word worship means to bow down before. So every day you ought to worship the Lord. I think if you possibly can, you ought to get down on your knees, put your face to the ground, and just bow before Him and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know that I recognize you as the God of gods and King of kings. You are the Master, and I am the servant, and I'm here to do your will. You don't have to stay down there for the entire time of prayer. I like to lay on my stomach and pray that way. That's what I do for praying. But you can pray when you're walking, you're talking, you can do whatever you want. But there ought to be a time during your devotional time that you bow before God and you worship Him. Secondly, you need to thank God for your salvation, or thank Him for anything. The Bible says this: enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Thank you, Lord, for my grandchildren. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to spend time with my kids the last couple of days. Thank you, Father, for the good things that you give to me. Thank you for my home. Thank you just for all your blessings. Praise the Lord. There's a difference between thanks and praise. Praise means tell Him how wonderful He is. I sing to Him every day. Almost every day I sing, Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, You are the mighty King. You're master of everything. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, You're the great Shepherd. The rock of all ages, Almighty God, are You. I bow down before You. I love and adore You. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. I like that song that, in fact, I got it in my prayer diary. I can't remember it. The one about, I just started singing it to him on a regular basis because a couple weeks ago we sang it. What was that? What's that song, Matt? What is it? Yes, You are my all in all. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. I'm telling you, I read it to him and I'm singing it to him. You are my all in all. I've changed the words. I say, Jesus, sovereign God, Jehovah is Your name. Because I want the demons to hear me calling Him Jehovah. You say, the demons, yeah, the demons are listening. Yep, and the angels are listening, and that's why you pray out loud, so they can hear you praise God out loud. Amen. Tell Him how wonderful He is. Tell Him how good He is. Sing to Him, which is the next thing. Sing to Him. Why do you sing to Him? You sing to Him because you can't think of good words. And some songwriter 100 years ago wrote a really good song that tells Him how wonderful He is, and you can use his words, and God says, yeah, I like that song. Sing to Him. You say, I feel a little ridiculous doing that. Well, stop it. Stop feeling ridiculous. Just start doing it. Just get alone with God and sing to Him and tell Him how wonderful He is. Nobody else is around. What if my kids come in? Then they'll see their daddy worshiping God. And wouldn't that be a terrible example? Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? Oh, what if my wife hears me? Well, she might say, oh, maybe my husband's learning submission to God. What if my husband hears me? Well, he might say, oh, she's serious about this stuff. Start singing to the Lord. Confess your sin to him every day. God, I confess to you my sin. And if you can't think of the sin that you committed yesterday, then confess your pride. Confess your ignorance, because you just think you're too, you just think you did all right, and you didn't. Confess your sin to him, and then tell him every day you love him. Lord Jesus, I love you. But it doesn't take long at all. Let me, Lord, I bow before you. I want you to know that I thank you for the goodness that you've given to me, all the great things you've given to me. Thank you for my family. Lord, I want to praise you and tell you how wonderful you are. You are just wonderful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Lord, I confess to you my sin. I confess to you my selfishness, my greed. I confess to you my covetousness. I confess to you my pride. I confess those things to you. Lord, I want you to know that I love you and thank you for loving me in spite of who I am. Now, I don't think that took more than a minute and a half, if it took that long. It's just that simple. You say, you mean that would be, that's good enough? Hey, that's a whole lot better than some of us are doing. Can you say amen to that? I think the Lord would rather hear that in a minute and a half than nothing. Let me ask you how much time you spent talking to him today. You say, well, man, things are going so bad in my life. Well, maybe if you start doing this, it will help you. Now, when you've done that, you haven't prayed yet. Now we're going to begin praying. Look, here's the first thing you ought to say. Lord, what words are being produced from your heart? You don't say that. You just say, Lord, you go around this circle. Lord, let me praise you today and thank you and glorify and honor and bless. Help me not to complain or grumble or backbite or judge or blaspheme. I say that to God every day. Just that quick. You say, you just read through that? Yeah. I say, God, I don't want to grumble, complain. You know why? Because when I get up in the morning, I want to say, oh, it's morning. And you know what? When I get on the treadmill, my knees hurt. I say, oh, my knees hurt. I really don't want to do this. And when somebody calls me up, I think, oh, I don't want to deal with that. And when somebody, I think the older you get, the more you easily grumble and you moan because we ache and pain and we have problems and then when you're young, you're just too young. You just gotta, you got too many other things on your mind. Why don't you say, Lord, I'm not going to complain anymore. I am not going to complain. I am not going to let negative words come out of my mouth. I am not going to say bad things. I am not, next Sunday morning, I'll talk about this next Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning, the Bible says the very first thing that we're supposed to do is be an example with our mouth. Ask God to help you praise him and thank him and glorify him and honor and bless and help me not to complain or grumble or backbite or judge or blaspheme. Go to the next page. Read what it says. But to pray means to ask. Prayer, the answer to prayer is receiving. Begin your prayer time by bowing down prostrate if you are physically able to do so. If you cannot, bow your head as they did in Nehemiah's day. Begin the Lord's prayer list. Here's God's prayer list. Lord, let your name be holy in my life. Let your kingdom come in my life. I pray this every single day. You ought to pray this every single day. You say, why? Because Jesus said to. Jesus, when in Luke chapter 11, then they said, teach us to pray. He said, say these words. You can just, it's right there. It's so clear. He said unto them, when you pray, say. He didn't say, say something like this. He didn't say, you can do it a little like this. He didn't. He said, when you pray, say. Is the Bible the inspired word of God? If it's the, okay, let me hear that one more time. Is the Bible the inspired word of God? Okay, it is the word of God. So Jesus is, this is telling us exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you pray, say these words. And these are the words. He said, pray, Lord, let your name be holy in my life. When he says, hallowed be thy name, it means let your name be holy in my life. Lord, I'm praying that your name will be holy in my life. Let your kingdom come in my life. Let me be a representative of you. Let your will be done in my life here in this earth and vessel just like it's done in heaven. The idea of in earth as it is in heaven is a tremendous truth. The church is the earthen body of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Jesus Christ. God, we are actually praying. Jesus has taught us to pray, let our body on this earth do exactly what your body is doing in heaven, the will of God the Father. It's an amazing truth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this earthen vessel. Our personal bodies, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his local church here on this earth. Give me this day my daily bread, it says, which means give me everything I need to do your will. Everything I need to do your will. Forgive me my debts. Are you in debt? Ask God to forgive you your debts. You don't have to go to Chase Bank, or you don't have to go to your mortgage company, or you don't have to go to a credit to anybody. You can say to God every day, "Forgive me my debts." Can you really ask God to do that? He said to. Well, isn't that talking about spiritual debt? It says debts. You can look it up. You check it out. He says, "Forgive us our sins." Here in Matthew, he says, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." So forgive everybody, everything that anybody owes you, just forgive it. They don't owe me a thing, God. Any hurt or any hurt that's anybody's ever done to you, forgive them their sins and their trespasses. And then say, "Lord, forgive me." The Bible says we're to pray, "Forgive me my debts as I forgive others that are indebted to me or have wronged me. Keep me from trials and temptations." Can I pray, "God, keep me away from trials and temptations"? Yes, I can. He said to. He said, "Lead us not into temptation." Jesus said, you know why Christians suffer so many trials, so many problems? Because they don't pray the way Jesus told them to pray. He said, you can every day say, pray. You can every day say, "Keep me from trials and temptations." Do you ask God to? I do. I say, "Lord, I want to ask you to protect myself, my wife, and Matthew and Brianna and Joshua and Heather and Neil and Charity and John and Faith and Hope and her future husband. I'm asking you to protect them, keep them safe, help them to do what's right. I want to pray for Jonathan and Savannah, and I want to pray for Scarlett, and I want to pray for Ashlyn and Bethany and Charlotte. I pray for them, for their salvation. I pray for their husbands to be saved, their wives to be saved. I pray for Trey to be saved at a young age, and I pray for Cherish to be saved at a young age. I pray for Joanna, that's the one that's coming, to be healthy and whole when she's born, that she'll be protected, that there'll be no complications. I pray for a safe, easy, healthy delivery for that baby." And you say, you really pray? You can pray that. Why wait till the emergency comes up? "There's an emergency. Would you please pray?" No, pray before that there'll be no emergencies. "Lord, lead us not into emergencies." That's what he says you can pray. "Lead us not into temptation." I'm serious as I can be about this. You pray it every day. Somebody said, "You seem to have a blessed life." I ask God to bless my life every single day. And yes, we do have a blessed life. Doesn't mean that we've never suffered any trials. But I want you to know there's a lot of trials you can avoid just by asking God to lead you not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. The word evil is in the masculine gender in the Greek. It means from the evil one, from satanic attack. And so I pray every day, lead us not into temptations and trials, but deliver us from satanic attack. And then in Matthew it says, let your kingdom and your power and your glory be seen in my life. I want the glory of God. I want the power of God. I want the majesty of God to be shown through my life. That's what I'm supposed to want. That's what we should want for Liberty Baptist Church. Lord, please give me wisdom. Give me boldness to witness. Physical healing. You don't have to have all the pain that you have. Ask God to physically heal you before you get sick. I'm not saying that he won't let you get sick. He may need you to go into a hospital, and the only way he's going to get you in the hospital to witness to the guy in the bed next to you is to make you sick. But I'm telling you, you can avoid a lot of things. Lord, keep me from physical healing. Or from no. You know what I mean. Then fill me with your Holy Spirit. Control me. Ask him every day, control me, because I'll do the wrong thing if you don't. And then these are other prayer requests that we find in the Bible. Pray for all men everywhere to be saved. Pray for kings and rulers and those in authority to be saved. Pray for policemen and firemen and civil workers for your protection and your salvation. For our military men and women to have protection and salvation. To send forth laborers into the harvest field for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray for peace in my home. I pray for peace in our church. I pray for peace in Las Vegas because this is our Jerusalem. And then I pray for literal Jerusalem that God will come and establish his kingdom and there'll be peace there. I pray for my enemies to be saved. I pray for my enemies to be saved, and I pray that God will protect me from their negative influences. Because people say nasty things about you, and you just pray for them, pray for their salvation, or pray that they'll get right with God. Because sometimes Christians can say the meanest things about you, so just pray that God will spank them and that they'll get right. By the way, you don't ever have to return criticism for criticism. You just talk to God. We used to sing a song, you can talk about me, you can talk about me, all that you please, all that you please. You can talk about me, you can talk about me, all that you please. You can talk about me, all that you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. That works. Just do that. And then ask him to take unrighteous rulers out of office and replace them with righteous rulers. Don't complain about it, pray about it. Can you say amen to that? Then there's a list underneath that so that you can make a list of other things you want to pray for. Then there's the next thing is praying for your family and your family members and where to list that. Then there's a prayer card for our church that we're asking you to pray for. There's 11 things on there for the salvation of lost souls as we go door to door. Church members to be effective in their daily witness. Christians who want to grow will find Liberty Baptist Church and come for your protection. For God's protection, his provision, and his power, and his presence in the services of Liberty Baptist Church, for revival at Liberty Baptist Church in 2012. Do you believe that God answers prayer? Amen. Do you believe that God answers prayer? Amen. So if we ask God for revival in our church in 2012, do you think he can do that? Amen. He can do that, okay? But we need to be praying. And you don't need to just go home and say, that was a nice little booklet, and I wish he wouldn't have spoke so long, and I'm missing my favorite movie. Just take this and go home and pray through this. Church families to be strengthened. Pray for the church, our families. Satan hates the families of this church. Satan would love to blow apart the families of our church. Wouldn't it be a great, great victory if he could get the Halversons mad at each other and blow their family apart? Wouldn't it be a great, great victory if he could get the Kolishes to just blow apart? Would that be a great, great victory? He hates your family. He hates the families of this church. We need to pray for one another. Can you say amen to that? Because the devil's fighting against us. We need not fight against anybody else. We need to pray for one another. Christian families to be strengthened. Pray for Liberty Baptist Academy to grow. It's amazing in the last 2 years how the academy has grown. When academies across this country are shrinking and attendance is going down, and we have a closed enrollment school, and yet it is growing because people are praying. Pray that God will increase the Grand 1000 Club and that we'll eliminate our debt. And pray that God for faith promise commitments to come in. Then on the back, on the next page, is all the leadership team of Liberty Baptist Church and their families. They're listed there. We would ask you to pray for that. We even have Andrew and Julie Brenniger and Aria. So we have her on there. And however you say it, God will know who you're talking about. God will know who you're talking about. Next to that is a list of our missionaries. Now, you don't have to pray through that list every day. I pray through that list every Friday. Some people divide that up into 10 or 15 names, and then they just pray through 5 or 10 or 15 names every day, and then they just go down the list until they finish through that. I pray for them, though. And you say, what do you pray? I pray this way. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Sam Brock and Larry Conway and Mark Acey and Steve Sturwald. I pray, Father, that you'll supply their need. And Jose Conway, I pray that you'll meet his needs in the Philippines. You know what they are. I pray for your protection on them. I pray you'll keep them from satanic attack. That's it. You say, well, that's not much. How are you doing? Listen, I would much prefer to have that kind of prayer than nothing being prayed for me. Can you say amen to that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it's not difficult. I've preached through that. I've read the Bible, done everything. I'm telling you, you can take that whole thing and do that in about 10 minutes every day. And what'll happen, this is what'll happen. If you start using this, you start praying through this, you start praying on a daily basis, you're gonna want more time. You're going to get up earlier because you're going to enjoy spending time with God. And when you start singing to the Lord, when you start spending time with the Lord, man, you're just not going to want to get up. You're just going to think, man, I want to just be here. I don't want to go. And you're going to be like the demon-possessed man that came to Jesus and said, I just want to follow you now. You've gotten rid of the demons, and I just want to follow you. And he said, no, you need to go minister to your friends and family. You need to go back. That's how you're going to feel. Because you're going to want to be there. Just stay with him all the time. You can have a wonderful relationship with God. I've put this together to help make your Christian life a little easier. And I hope that you'll use it. I hope it'll be a benefit to you. Let me say this. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you need to trust him first to be saved. And then you can learn how to pray to him every single day as your Heavenly Father. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do that tonight. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask several questions tonight. My first question is this. Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? If you do, would you slip up your hand as a testimony to that? I know I'm going to heaven, no doubt in my mind. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're hearing you say, preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never had a personal conversation with him and asked him to be my Lord and Savior and God, and I want to do that tonight. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I don't. Please pray for me. Anybody like that, I'd like to pray for you. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Please pray for me. I do not know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Okay, then Christian, this is what I want you to do. Tonight, I'd like to ask you to make a commitment to God to pray. Tonight, I'd like to ask you to make a commitment to God to pray. Just be willing to say to him, Lord Jesus, I'm going to. This little booklet's been prepared for me. God, I want to make a commitment to pray and read my Bible every single day. Don't let the devil say, oh, you'll fail at your commitments. Just say, I'm going to establish a pattern. Would you do that between you and God? In a minute, we're going to have an invitation, and I'm going to ask you to either come to the altar, make that commitment to him. Come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to be a witness. I mean, I'm not saying about being a witness. I'm sorry. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to be somebody who prays. I'm going to take what I've heard tonight and apply it to my life. If you can't get to the altar, then I would encourage you just to kneel where you are or bow where you are. Kneel and say, Lord, I want to tell you this. I'm going to be a person of prayer, and I'm going to be a person that has a devotional life, that reads my Bible and prays every day. I'm going to have that pattern, and I'm going to do it. I want to ask you to make that commitment to God. I'm telling you, this church, what this church accomplishes for God will be totally and completely dependent upon your response to this invitation tonight. I want to encourage you to do what God wants you to do. Maybe you're here and you need to get baptized or join this church. Pastor Matt will be here at the front if you need to talk to him. But I want to ask you to talk to God. And I want to ask you, as soon as the invitation starts, to come to this altar, kneel and pray and make a commitment to be a man or woman of God, a teenager, a young person, that I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask everyone here to do that tonight. Make that commitment to God. Would you do that? Let's stand together as we pray. Father, I pray that you'll use this invitation time for your glory and for your honor. I pray that men and women will take what I've said, not, Father, just put it away and say, oh, that was a nice little message. God, I pray that people will take this as from you and will make the commitments. And I ask this in Jesus' name.